Log Talk Radio.
In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone, and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
Two of our favorite guests return for the full hour. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts from the Haunted Paranormal International, the HPI, headquartered in California. Shannon is the owner of HPI, Paul Dale Roberts, the general manager. Shannon McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Katie and Eltor. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Tonight is one of those nights that, as a host, all I'd be expected to do is make sure we hit the station brakes on time and hang on. Tonight, our friend Shannon Macabre McCabe and Paul Dale Roberts, the HPI Paranormal, are back in the house right after this.
You are in the Night Zone. BlogTalkRadio.com. Marshall Masters and the Mammoths. YOWUFA.com. Pradamus and the Antichrist. Code named Mabus with John Ho. Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
And indeed, welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. I say this every week, but boy, have we got a good show for you tonight. I've got Paul Dale Roberts pulled over to the side of the road on the cell phone, and I believe Shannon I have on the phone. Paul, Shannon, are you there?
Colin, guess what? Well, Shannon and myself, we were contacted by a movie theater, and they wanted us to talk at the newest movie. It's called The Vampire Apprentice. So one of us had to go, and I told Shannon, go ahead and go, and I'll do the show.
Okay, so just making sure, because I do see a 715 number up on my caller screen there. So Paul, how the heck you been doing that?
Oh, we've been really, really busy, Colin. We were sent down to Los Angeles by 2-4 Productions to actually investigate Michael Jackson's ghost.
Oh, wow. And you've done this, or you're doing this?
No, we've already done it.
Oh.
First off, I think the last time I was on the show, we did History Channel's Bat Squatch and Mothman. I think
right.
I talked about that.
That's right.
And then we were recently contacted by 2-4 Productions, and they're doing it for Sky One Channel TV in London. So they had us go down to the Shrine Auditorium, Shannon McCabe and myself.
Right.
And we went over there, and we did some EVP work. We did some videotaping to see if we can get any anomalies in our video footage. We took some still photos, and what was kind of funny was on one of the EVPs, and I was with June Sartong. She's a hostess of a TV show in London. She's very popular.
Okay.
And we did some EVP work, and I said, is there anyone there? It sounded like a little voice that said, Michael.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Shrine Auditorium, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in 1984, Michael Jackson was doing a Pepsi commercial. And on the sixth take, the pyrotechnics exploded before the time that it was supposed to do
right.
on the sixth take.
And that's when he hurt himself, right?
Right. His hair caught on fire. And so many of his bodyguards and stuff put the fire out, and Michael, with his white gloved hand, touched his scalp. And from that time on, in 1984, from that Pepsi commercial, his life changed. It was a very traumatic experience for him. He loves the Shrine Auditorium, even though this tragedy happened. And people right now are saying that they see Michael Jackson's ghost at the Shrine Auditorium.
So he did have a connection to the auditorium to have reason to go there if he was happy there, right?
Exactly. So so some people have now said that they've seen Michael Jackson's ghost at the Shrine Auditorium. So they sent Shannon McCabe and myself down there to actually do a little bit of ghost hunting to see if we can find Michael.
Okay. And you did receive EVP that said his name was Michael and sounded like a little boy.
It sounded like a little boy.
Mm.
So that was kind of bizarre. And we got a lot of anomalies in our photographs, you know, the normal designer orb type pictures and stuff like that. But, and not only that, they say that the Shrine Auditorium, even if Michael Jackson's ghost wasn't there, they said that there's two ghosts that reside there.
Interesting. Now would an active ghost, presumably a newly deceased spirit, could it move from various locations? If it had four locations that it was happiest at, could it move to those different four locations?
Right. If there's an object that it's attached to, it can go ahead and it can create a portal from point A to point B. So let's say he's haunting the Neverland Ranch.
Right.
But if there's a piece of Michael at the Shrine Auditorium, he can go from Neverland Ranch to the Shrine Auditorium because there's a piece of him at the Shrine Auditorium. Now, here's the funny thing. There was a guy who actually brought in an envelope. Inside the envelope was the hair and scalp of Michael Jackson from that 1984 fire. A stagehand was cleaning up the stage, and he came across the hair and the scalp of Michael Jackson. And he kept it. He tried to sell it on eBay. Nobody wanted to buy it. When Michael Jackson died, all of a sudden he had all these takers. So he sold it for a good sum of money, and the person who actually bought it actually came down to the theater with the scalp and hair of Michael Jackson, which I saw.
Right. Wow. And now, of course, it's priceless because of the tragedy and the unfortunate demise of Michael Jackson, no matter how much of a strange anomaly he was. His death was definitely a tragedy.
Just think, though, in the future, they'll be able to take that scalp and that hair, possibly in the future, scientists, and actually clone Michael Jackson from the DNA that they can acquire from the scalp and from the hair.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to clone him as we remember him because most of his exterior bodywork was plastic. You know, so.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
They would clone Michael Jackson as he was and as he would have been.
Mm.
Yeah, for
right.
sure. You know, and what a great body of work when you look over what he accomplished. And it's strange how his statement, "This is it. This is it. This is the end," kind of thing, of Michael Jackson
right.
and. Pretty darn freaky, Paul. So when you were there, did you get a clear kind of feeling that somebody was in fact there and that you were in touch with someone?
Bobby Marchesso, who is a very well-renowned psychic in the United States, was channeling Michael, and he felt some paranormal activity near the stage. And that's where we started doing the EVP work.
Right.
And we did like a mental a calling on Michael where we all held hands and we asked Michael to go ahead and give us his message.
Right.
So that's when I started doing the EVP work, and then the EVP that I did get, it sounded like a little boy, and it sounded like he said Michael.
Impressive. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, 715, who's been holding, we will open up the phone line and find out what it's all about.
Okay.
Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
We'll be right back.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
In this part of Lincolnshire, the skyline is dotted with huge wind turbines. People who live nearby say that it was hit by a UFO.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. KVNM Talk.
The ancient Sumerian text, just in a very broad overview, basically tell us that these Anunnaki came from space and landed on the Earth in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. They began to set up a colony that they called Eden.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone. Watch for the listings.
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night Zone. Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVNM Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we have with us tonight Paul Dale Roberts from HPI Paranormal, our James Bond of ghosts and ghouls. He's live Night Zone. And I see a 715 has been lit up on the board since we opened. So 715, your first name, geographical location, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. I didn't know I pressed number one. Excuse me, I'm from Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and my name is Maisie. I've listened to your show several times, but I was interested in this because I have a friend who channeled Michael. She lives in Alaska, and your guest, if he was interested in who this woman is, I can give her name and telephone number to contact her. She does channel him. He had a great deal to say. Yes, his life was tragic, but he healed and did a great deal of things for the world as well. So his death was timely in his lifespan. It was the way it was supposed to be for him. And he does come and talk to people about things, I guess. So I'm very interested in this.
Well, Paul, I think probably the easiest thing to do would be to throw out an email address. And then our caller can grab the email address, and then that way contact you, and you can take it from there. So what's the easiest email address for our contact to get a hold of you?
She can go ahead and contact me at Paul, P-A-U-L, B as in dog, 5606, at comcast.net.
Okay, so Paul, D?
5606.
5606 at Comcast.
Yeah, comcast.net.
Okay, so there you go, caller. That's the easiest way to get in touch with Paul, and then that way you can arrange whatever phone numbers and that without going out on the internet and having 10 zillion crank calls to your friend in Alaska. Because
that'd be fantastic. I would like to know who her channel is.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just getting into the channeling and actually got turned on to Ra recently. So I've been kind of going through that and learning what that's all about, Paul. Now, when you do an investigation, you are basically taking, you are qualifying the word or the story of someone and then moving forward to find something of quantity. Am I correct?
Right. A lot of people contact me through my articles because I have my contact information there. So so I get really interesting stories. Just recently I got one story about this guy was driving down the road and he saw a phantom. Well, no. First off, he saw a bunch of chickens. Okay, believe this or not, he said that he saw a bunch of chickens that jumped up on his car, and they would dissipate. They would just disappear. And then there was this strange-looking man. And he started researching the area, and come to find out, he found out that a serial killer that was called the Winefield Murderer used to hang out in this area of Riverside.
Right.
And so he believes he saw the phantom of the Winefield Murderer, a serial killer back in 1928 that had a farmhouse, a chicken farmhouse, and would lure little boys into that that chicken farm where he would do, you know, nameless atrocities mm-hmm. to these children and of course, kill them.
And this went on for a very long time, did it, or was it a short reign or a long reign?
It seemed like it was going on for a period of a long time, and finally someone got wind of missing little boys that happened to be near that chicken ranch, and they the FBI investigated and they arrested them. So,
this person is experiencing a manifestation of that chicken ranch.
Right. Well, yeah, he was. He said he was driving down the road, and he saw a bunch of chickens jump on his car. But the chickens were all phantom chickens. They weren't real chickens. And then when the chickens disappeared, there was a man just staring at him. And he started doing his own research, and he says that the man was like the Winefield chicken murderer.
Who is
that? So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, who is probably hung in purgatory and not capable of moving into the light at this time for his punishment. So he's probably reliving those moments over and over again.
Right, right. And so if I ever get back down to L.A., down by Riverside, I would like to, you know, kind of check that out and see what's going on over there.
Right. So that the Winefield chicken murderer.
Exactly. That's what they call them.
The Winefield chicken murderer. Going to have to check into that one. That one sounds pretty interesting. I know I did see a number of stories come down the pike from you, and you've been pretty busy on those things.
I know. I'm always busy. I get so many calls, and oh my gosh, I'm booked up all the way into December 5th.
Wow.
I have people to interview. I have I went to Wichapalooza with Shen McCabe. I met a lot of Wicca people,
mm-hmm.
and they want to be interviewed and talk about their culture and everything else and their religion.
Excellent.
So I got some interviews set up for that. What else is going on? Oh, I just recently did an investigation which was really interesting, but the occupants were saying that the entities would actually throw pennies at them. So when we did our investigation, my investigators, there was pennies coming from nowhere being thrown at them.
Wow.
So that was a very interesting case. And I hadn't had a lively entity like that in a long time.
And these pennies, do they all have a certain date, or are they, you know, what dates are they happening in? Are they random, or is there a set date range of these pennies? You may be
no, It was just random pennies, just like any pennies. Like if you were to go into a bowl full of pennies
right. And
just start throwing pennies at people. So they had random dates on there and stuff like that. But it was just really interesting because I couldn't figure out where the pennies were coming from. And the lady there really, really was bothered by the paranormal activity in the home, and she definitely wanted a blessing. So I went ahead and did a Catholic blessing of the place. And what was really unusual is the photographs, when we're going out the front door and I'm doing a Four Winds prayer, there was like orb activity moving away from me. So almost like as if the entities were actually leaving because of the blessing. So, and then I talked to her about maybe a week later, and she says there's nothing left in her home. So it seems like my blessing was successful.
Interesting. And I just want to go back to these pennies because I'm always looking to make a buck, you know. If you could keep those entities agitated enough that they're throwing pennies, you could make a semi-decent living out of it.
I know. If they throw enough pennies, I can become a millionaire.
Exactly. You know, you just have to keep them agitated enough. But the reason I was asking about the dates is, could it have been a 1976 penny from an entity of the 1930s? See, what that's where I was coming at, right?
Ah,
see?
Interesting.
You know?
The dates that I saw there was... like, you know, 70s, 80s, and stuff like that. It wasn't really anything really that old.
So would that be consistent with the, whatever the paranormal event is, would that be consistent with the timing and everything?
Well, you know, and that's something actually I should actually look into, because the pennies were like in the 70s and the 80s, so...
Right.
That is interesting. You know, maybe they're trying to give us a message with the dates of the pennies.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a manifestation there, and for what reason? If you know, if the pennies are a manifestation or something.
Right.
Because they come from spirit form to solid form, otherwise they can't be manipulated. So.
Therefore,
they have to be a manifestation for some reason. So, you know, if we could just get them to start throwing gold coins. Make life a lot easier for all of us. We can make some money.
Yeah. Well, we did some research on the house and everything, and the only thing possibly that the land itself could be very much haunted because there were some native settlers that moved into that area, but that would be back in the 1800s. So,
right.
So the apartment itself... we couldn't find any history, you know, of anyone dying there or anything like that. So, and I did talk to the male occupant, and he's experienced paranormal activity all his life. So it almost seems like he's a sensitive, and he's been followed around from his home in Elk Grove to his new home in Carmichael. And his girlfriend said that the entity followed him. So it could be the fact that he's haunted.
Right. The the Native Americans have a belief that every item has what's called a manitou, or a spirit.
Right.
And there's been a number of stories regarding aircraft parts on other jetliners and ghosts of crashes and ghosts of pilots and the likes. So would it not make sense that if a piece of lumber was used from an original house, maybe hundreds of miles away, that it could also carry the magnetic resonance of the haunting? Could that also happen?
That's called psychometrics. And so that's like if you go into an antique shop and you buy a grandfather's clock, and you bring it to your house, then all of a sudden your house is haunted because you purchased that grandfather's clock from the antique shop and brought it to your house, and those entities who are attached to that grandfather's clock now making your house, your brand new home, haunted.
Right.
So, yeah, that's very possible, yes.
Yeah. And I have noticed because sometimes interviews or investigations seem to be disjointed. They they seem to head in two wrong directions for the same haunting. And I often wonder if how much of one is overlapping the other.
Right.
You know, and then it gets confusing. And I use this because I remember the city of York in England with the Roman legions marching around. And there's a Roman legion that they can only see from the waist up marching through a brick wall, and then they disappear. And then the next thing that is seen is a child from the 1930s stumbling around, starving to death, so to speak. And, those are,
and also too, that could be a lot of residual haunting activity.
Yeah.
Because like you go into Europe, you see sometimes a battlefield full of phantom soldiers. And many people have witnessed that. And it, what it is, it's residual haunting activity. The energy of a battle or soldiers marching to a battle, is the energy is like blasted into the atmosphere and it plays over and over and over again. So you have a lot of residual haunting activity. And so you have, the, you know, your definition of your residual haunting activity, which is not intelligent. Then you have your intelligent haunting activity, where the entity can actually see you and communicate with you.
And that's that seems to be the most powerful part of a haunting, is when there is an interaction between the two dimensions.
Right, exactly.
Just like the penny throwing, eh? I tell you what, Paul, hang in there. We're going to take a quick break. Everybody okay. Refresh their libations and the likes, and we'll be right back.
And it's time for a pause for the cause. We'll be right back. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com predictions. Marshall Masters from the Planet X forecast. Petroglyphs in the sky. Bible prophecy with Tim McKay. The Illuminati. The New World Order with Al Kay. Tonight, Shannon McCarver McCain of Paul Dale Roberts from the HBI Paranormal. Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR, in the shadows of the Night Zone, we do invite your call, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. When we come back, Paul Dale Roberts and Shannon Macabre McCabe. Good evening, Night Zoners. I'm glad you are in attendance. I wish to tell you of a party if you are in the Sacramento area on Saturday, the 31st of October. The HPI International are throwing an annual bash at the vacant Night Urban Sports Bar at 910 2nd Street, Old Sacramento, the most haunted bar in the area. Saturday, October 31st, 8:30 p.m. Don't be late.
Saturday, 31st of October, HPI International, Paul and Shannon are throwing an annual bash at the Vegas Nightclub and Sports Bar at 910 2nd Street, Old Sacramento. That's going to be a bash you don't want to miss. If you're in the area, give them a call. Check it out. 1-888-709-4-HPI. 1-888-709-4-HPI.
Tonight, Shannon McCarver McCabe of Paul Dale Roberts from the HPI Paranormal. Your host, Colin Knight.
And as Paul has mentioned, Shannon is ghostbusting. She's out there in her ghostbusting uniform trying to pick up some new EVPs and the likes. And I'm going to get Shannon back to tell me all about that, Paul, because it sounds absolutely fascinating. Sounds like
oh, yeah.
It's going to be quite the haunting.
Yeah, she gets involved in a lot of good haunting activities and everything else, and just like myself. And what's kind of nice is because Shannon can go into one area, and I'll cover another area, and then we'll communicate with each other by cell phone, and I find out what she's doing, and she finds out what I'm doing. So, and then I bring my whole team out there, and so,
yep.
And we're on it.
So let's just go back to Michael Jackson for a few minutes, because it's one of those issues that it's an itch you can't scratch. You know, Jackson, who married into the Elvis Presley fortune, and also the Know How to Exploit organization, the Jacksons do seem to be heading for some pretty major exploits of the Michael Jackson legacy.
It seems that way. And you know what was one of the amazing things that that some of the cameramen were talking about is that we were the first ghost hunters to actually look for Michael Jackson's ghost.
Right.
So we're now part of the Michael Jackson timeline, from the time when he was with the Jackson 5, when his hair caught on fire, when he was trying to buy the Elephant Man bones, all the controversy that he was involved in. And now we're post Michael Jackson, looking for his ghost.
Right, and we've gone through that whole metamorphosis of Michael Jackson. I mean, Michael Jackson made it very, very clear that he firmly believed that God had a hand in the production of This Is It. He firmly believed. He spoke that up many times, that he believed that God channeled through him at night. Because he said he could never sleep because he was so supercharged. And, you know, these are common statements that he has made over the years. And isn't it interesting now that October the 28th, This Is It is going to do a two-week run. They're throwing it in the water and seeing if it swims. So it's going to be very, very interesting what the Jackson take will be on this whole issue, and how Michael will react to it.
And, you know, it's so funny. It's just the words. This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so. I don't know. It's it makes you think. You know, like he almost. It's almost like he was predicting his own death. This is it.
He did have a macabre way of saying. He could tell everybody that not only this, but the whole thing as you know it. That's what he was trying to get across. And people, you know, obviously weren't taking it because it's Michael Jackson. But, yeah, it's a very big story. And whether it'll be allowed to unfold as it should, who knows. But so when you did this, the EVPs and what have you, did you sense anything around you? Did you sense an energy presence?
Well, the only thing is, Shannon McCabe did, and I think she's more sensitive than I am, but I'm absolutely not a psychic, I'm not a sensitive, I'm not an intuitive. So I go with, you know, the science of it, so, you know, using the equipment and stuff like that. And I didn't sense anything, but Shannon did, and so did Bobby Marchesso. And I go with that. I mean, like when I do investigations, I utilize psychics, but as a tool. So the psychic, we'll say we have a psychic that says there's someone sitting on that chair. Then it's up to my investigators to take some pictures and see if there's any type of paranormal activity in their photographs of that chair.
Right.
So that's what I look for.
Right.
And I wish I was as sensitive. I wish I could pick up something. But Shannon was picking up on something. She felt a heaviness on his chest. So she was feeling something that was there. So.
Right. Go ahead.
They said that we're successful. Let's say if we are successful, let's say the show gets a lot of good ratings and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And with the analysis of the evidence that we got, and if we are successful with this, they said that maybe we'll be back down to Los Angeles to look for Farrah Fawcett and look for Patrick Swayze.
Interesting. It's interesting that even in death, they're larger than life. That you know, their spirits would be of value in this world. I find it interesting that there is such a take on that.
Well, you know something? Here's something that's really amazing, Colin. My very first wife, Karen Jean Walker, that was her name. Anyway, she told me, and I didn't believe her, and I was in a ghost hunter at the time. This was back in the 70s. But she told me that one time she was sitting in the living room and that Jim Morrison's ghost appeared to her and was talking to her about her life and that she needed to select a good path for her life. And when she told me this, and she said that she met Jim Morrison's ghost before she met me, before we got married. And when she told me the story, I was laughing, and I go, yeah, right, Jim Morrison's ghost appeared to you. Why did Jim Morrison, out of all the people in the world, appear to you? Well, trying to find out, I picked up a Rolling Stone magazine in the early 90s, and I'm reading about Jim Morrison. And I was totally stunned and shocked to find out that many people in the world have seen Jim Morrison's ghost, that he would appear to people and just talk to them. And I said, oh, my God. So what my ex-wife was telling me was something that other people were experiencing, that they were experiencing seeing Jim Morrison's ghost. So that was really, really shocking.
Could that have been mass hysteria, or do you think there was an energy there?
Well, I know that Karen never talked to other people who experienced seeing Jim Morrison's ghost. This was like a story that she experienced on her own without being influenced by anybody else. So I don't think she was part of that mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a mass hysteria when the story got out that other people saw Jim Morrison's ghost, just like people who said, hey, they've seen Elvis Presley.
Right.
So perhaps there is a partial mass hysteria, but I don't think Karen went mass hysteria. I mean, maybe somehow she did see Jim Morrison's ghost.
Well, all is possible. I mean, unless it happens to you, you can't say.
Right.
You can't say it didn't happen. I mean, and you know, it's that there are strange phenomena in this world, and obviously ghostly apparitions and spirit guides are clearly visible to some at whatever time is it manifests itself for whatever reason. Now, Michael Jackson, of course, will be a phenomena. Nothing is done easy by the Jackson standards. So, although they have kept the Elvis name going for such a long time, I believe Michael Jackson is going to be one of those crowning glories. And are you still alive?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
I'm here. Yeah, that was just a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you had trouble taking off there for a second there, Paul.
No, that was the Ghost Rider.
I see. But you know, this Michael Jackson thing, it's not going to go away. It's the legend is going to mount. There's no doubt about it. And the sightings will mount. The secret is, I guess, as you have done, is getting in on the ground floor so that, you know, you can get the clean information, if you will, before the waters get muddied. Because I would think every man and his dog is going to make an attempt at contacting Michael Jackson.
Right. I think a lot of people will attempt to contact Michael Jackson through seances, through Ouija boards and stuff like that. I've already talked to a few HPI scouts who have tried to channel Michael Jackson. And they claim that using a spirit box that they've actually heard Michael Jackson's songs come on and stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. And I kind of experienced that myself on one of my investigations. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people out there because he was such an icon.
Right.
So, yeah.
And he touched so many people without actually even meeting them. So there is that strength of spirit that is, you know, it's quite prevalent when it comes. Michael Jackson was loved around the world, no matter how much of a freak he was made to appear at home. He was, he was loved around the world without doubt.
Yeah, and it's so funny is because I've never seen Michael Jackson in concert, but I saw Janet Jackson, his sister, in concert. And just looking at her and the way she has her different type of dance moves and stuff like that, you can see Michael in her. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I was kind of stunned on when I went to one of her concerts. And now the closest I've been to Michael is probably if his ghost was at the Shrine Auditorium, and also to his scalp and his hair, and being looking at it and stuff like that, and just, you know, how amazing that scalp and that hair was part of Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. And how it was discarded in such a way that it was, you know?
Right, right. Where a stagehand would find it on stage and place it into an envelope and keep it all this time and trying to sell it on eBay.
Yeah, really.
That's sort of morbid.
It's a little strange. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I want you to tell me about the zombie in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Sure.
When we come back, Paul Dale Roberts and Shannon Macabre McCabe in the Night Zone. I wish to tell you of a party on Saturday, the 31st of October. Vacant Night Urban Sports Bar at 910 2nd Street, Old Sacramento. The most haunted bar in the area. Saturday, October the 31st, 8:30 p.m. Don't be late. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
We have tonight's featured background song is from Tiddler and the D-Cups and MagicBoxFilms.com. Thanks, guys. Check out their website, MagicBoxFilms.com. We'll be right back with Paul Dale Roberts right after this.
Driving down the road, minding my own business, when I see a UFO land right into a tree. Scared the pants off of me. There was so much debris. And the next thing I see is a little green man in front of me. And he says, Crembop-a-doodly-jump. I say, he-bop-a-doodly-jump. He says, Crembop-a-doodly-jump. Bop-a-boobly-me-bop-a-boobly-mo.
Pops another UFO. I wouldn't you know,
he had to go, but I hear him say, as he flew away, Crembop-a-doodly-jump. I tell
phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. Tonight, in the Night Zone, we look deeper into the shadows and explore the mystical abilities of our minds in the shadows of the Night Zone.
Question at all, was there life throughout the universe? We're not alone in the universe. But they've identified quite a number of planets now that very likely could be life on planets. We have been visited.
Was a note for about an hour, when out of the clouds pops another UFO. Wouldn't you know, he had to go, but I hear him say, as he flew away, ah, Grandpa, but I shall see Papa Doodly Jim in the Grandpapa Doodly for me, Papa forever. Grandpapa Doodly Jim.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
A Doodly Jim.
Your host, Colin Knight. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And we're here with Paul Dale Roberts from HBI Paranormal, our James Bond of Ghosts and Ghouls. So, Paul, zombies in San Francisco. Now, I know there's a couple of strange-looking people out there, but zombies?
Well, yeah, and that's one of my investigators. Her name is Chantal Apakadaka, and she's a really good investigator, but she had experienced something that was really, really odd. When she went to San Francisco, she went to, like, a little mystical-type shop, and she kind of thought this guy was kind of unusual-looking. He was wearing, like, a brown flannel-type shirt. He was sort of like pasty white, and he was wearing a type of belt where it had like little bags of potions and
right.
stuff like that around his belt and stuff like that. So she just kind of thought it was kind of unusual because he was also, too, he was looking through the books on voodoo and about Haiti and stuff like
right.
that. And she was just, when you see somebody who looks kind of odd, you just kind of can't keep your eyes away from them,
right.
and you just keep on watching them. And so she kept on watching them, and finally he took, like, one of his little pouches off his belt and stuff like that, and there was some powder there, and he kind of blew it in the air. So she always thought about that, and she came to the conclusion, maybe that guy was a zombie. You know, so she related the story to me, and Chantal has a lot of interesting stories, besides the zombie situation, but one of the most, and she tells this story over and over and over again, but when she was a small child in Hawaii, she almost drowned, and a sea turtle came out of nowhere and went right underneath her and brought her back to the shore.
Mm.
So, yeah, so she was saved by the sea turtle. And this is something that she was telling me way before she was a ghost hunter.
Now, that's,
and,
that's definitely into the column of things that make you go, hmm.
I know. And yes, and also, too, you know, certain people, they can be selected for certain things. I mean, what if that sea turtle, for some reason, had some kind of angelic bindings with angels and stuff, and maybe she, you know, these angels saw that she has a purpose in life, and she needs to carry on whatever her work is going to be, and so somehow these angels manifested into the sea turtle and saved her life by placing her back on shore, but it seemed like a lot of people, she has a lot of witnesses, family members, friends, who saw the sea turtle carry her back on shore.
Right. It just wasn't her time. And the powers that be were making sure that it wasn't her time because she had things to do. I believe that everybody is on Earth with a function, that we have
right.
that we have something to do in the greater scheme of things. Whatever it is, we may never completely understand, but I do believe in that. I believe that the spirit of man and the soul of a living beings are all part of the universal code. I mean, that's pretty well given nowadays. The scientists have given up trying to disprove it.
Well, you know, and it's so funny because there's could be like a universal type plan, you know,
yeah.
and Chantal could be a small part of that plan. But it's like before I was even into ghost hunting and everything else and my paranormal investigating, my second ex-wife,
yeah.
I've had two ex-wives, the new one. But Patricia, she took me to a psychic, and she said, I want the psychic to do a reading on you. I said, Patricia, I'm not into the readings and all this other stuff.
Right.
Well, this psychic didn't know anything about me, and I went to her, and Patricia paid for the whole shebang, you know. And I sat there kind of reluctantly and let her go ahead and do a reading on me. And she looked at me, and her eyes just transfixed with my eyes. And she just stared at me, and she goes, wow. She goes, you're an old soul. And I go, okay. Okay, I'm an old soul, okay. Now what? And then
yeah.
She goes, and then she goes, I see you back in Roman times. And you were a very popular scribe. I see people following you. You wrote a lot of stories. You wrote stories about different people, blah, 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 and stuff like that. And she goes, and little did she know, she knew nothing about my life, but I do like to write articles. I've been writing since I was 8 years old, where my mom looked at me and she goes, what are you writing? And I was 8 years old. And I said, I don't know, I'm just writing. And she looks at it, and I had dates, and I was talking about things I was doing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at it and she goes, oh my gosh, she goes, you're writing a diary. I go, what is a diary? I didn't even know I was writing a diary. And I was 8 years old. And then by the time I was 12 years old, I had my first thing published in the Monterey Herald. And then I've been getting published ever since, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it's something that was like inbred in me. It was like in my DNA.
Definitely a calling of some kind. So the, this person saw that in you, as an old soul, so that you were a scribe. Fascinating.
Yeah, I was a scribe. And I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to be like a warrior or a conqueror. I was hoping she would say, oh, you're an old soul. You're Alexander the Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is very interesting how many people claim, when their claim of reincarnation, they can't be Betsy the barmaid. They've got to be Cleopatra.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. But I was like, okay, describe him. Does he have a name? She couldn't give me a name or anything like that, you know. So, yeah, so it was like a long-lost scribe, but I guess he was kind of popular in the Roman times. And then she said that, during the time of the Library of Alexandria, I was doing some scribe work before the Roman times. And I was a scribe back then, too, and that some of my works were actually in the Library of Alexandria.
I'm sure we all have we're all part of that cog in the big wheel, I'm sure, you know. So if you have a leaning to writing, probably it is inherent in your genes somehow. But hey, you've got the vampire ball is coming up. That's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, we have a vampire ball, and we'll see a lot of goth type people there. We'll see some actual vampires, people who actually embrace the vampire culture.
Uh-huh.
And what's so amazing, the vampire thing is really becoming popular. You got Vampire Diaries on TV.
Absolutely.
You got the movie out that Shannon right now and her friend Carol are out there watching and they're promoting, which is called The Vampire Apprentice.
Yeah.
And Shannon's a big fan of Twilight and what was the other one? True Blood.
Yep.
So,
well, we have a real live vampire on the show next week, Lady LaDirt Talmans, and she's joining us for our Halloween show. We also have a pagan witch, and if we're really, really lucky, a Wicca witch, all in the same show. So that's going to be a feisty one. We're looking forward to that next week. So, yeah, you've got tarot readings and charity raffles and... you're going to have vampire decor and all of that stuff. It sounds like it's going to be a great time. Now, this is at Vegas, right? Vegas.
Oh, yeah. It's called Vegas, and it's in Old Sacramento. It's very, very haunted. It's an old establishment. It's been around since the 1800s. And Richard Curtin Chase, a.k.a. the Vampire of Sacramento, a serial killer, used to hang out at Vegas when it was steamboat navigation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And the last time they saw Richard Curtin Chase back in the 70s at the steamboat navigation, he was hanging by the wall, and he asked a couple of girls to dance. They turned him down, and he had a very depressed look on his face. No matter, then 2 weeks later, he killed six people, and he drank their blood.
Lovely guy, lovely guy.
Yeah.
And this is the Sacramento's most haunted bar, Vegas.
It is one of the most haunted bars in
yeah.
Sacramento. There's another one called Fanny Ann's, and that's very haunted too.
Right. And you're gonna party. And you're gonna party there on the 31st.
Yes, 31st. Yeah, October 31st. We'll be partying out there with a bunch of vampires and goth people.
Well,
I will be dressed in costume as the Demon Warrior. The Demon Warrior does not like vampires.
I see. And would Shannon Macabre McCabe by any chance happen to have her camcorder handy for some local snaps of the festivities, possibly?
Yes, yes. She will definitely be filming it and placing it on YouTube. And also, too, she just placed on YouTube, we did, Shannon McCabe and myself, we actually interviewed Christy Swanson, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we interviewed Malcolm McDowell, famous for Clockwork Orange and Star Trek.
Impressive. Impressive. And these stories come out on the HPI site?
This is actually on Shannon McCabe's site, which is www.shannonmccabe.com.
Okay.
And you can see the videos and everything.
Right. Well, you give my regards to Shannon, and I know when she has to go ghostbusting, she's off and running. So tell her that she owes me a show, and that I'll be collecting on that certainly. And enjoy yourself at the party, Paul. It sounds like it's going to be a blast over there.
It's going to be a blast. Oh, and we got an investigation in Fort Bragg, California, November 28th, and that's going to be a real big one. Because there's all kinds of activity.
Well,
I'll
calling you.
I'll have to tell you about that.
Yep, I'll be calling you back for that one. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure. We do appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you so much, Colin. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
And we'll catch you back next time. And that's about it. That's all. We got to already start getting out of here. Hey, guys. Got a minute? You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God, go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. It doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them.
Blessings upon your households. Good night.